When you got something to say, but you ain't got all day, here's another quickie.
Girl.
What?
I mean,
a week.
Wow. So much is going on. Like, my brain can't, like, holy shit. Like, just the compressed time of things, you know?
I'm feeling super overwhelmed with everything that has happened, I guess, in the past, what, 7-8 days? If we...
Hell, the weekend? So the fucking weekend.
The past 7 days, that has felt like a month and a half. But I guess if we're going to back this all the way up, let's start with last week's presidential debate and what a hot, awful shit show it was.
Yeah, or as Jake Tapper said, I believe he said it was a hot mess inside a dumpster fire,
inside that was part of a train wreck. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, felt accurate.
It
felt super accurate. And even watching with my 10-year-old son, who said Donald Trump sounded like a child. For my child to say that the president sounded like a kid.
He's so immature.
So immature. Yeah, so I think that says a lot. And even thinking back to that debate, there's not a whole lot that stands out to me that has any substance if we're talking from a political standpoint.
No,
right?
No, that's not. Yeah, he said nothing of substance, and it was just a big bully fest. And I think that it's par for the course.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's not anything new, and it's the same old shit. And at some point, everyone's just going to have to decide, and not really everyone, a certain group of people mm-hmm. are going to have to decide if that's who they are or not. And, you know, I think we're all getting a really good understanding of if our president stands up and cannot very clearly, very plainly denounce white supremacy, and you still put a Trump Pence sign outside of your house, like many mm-hmm. folks in the neighborhoods that I live in.
Same.
Then I know exactly who you are.
Right.
And good luck with that. But no, your child cannot play with my child.
No.
There's none of that.
And to tell a group of known white supremacists, now I guess the argument could be, I wasn't aware of who the Proud Boys were, but you
bullshit.
Called them out by name. And told
he called
them
to out
stand
by exactly.
By. Stand by for what? Is there a signal? Do I need to know this signal? What is this
signal?
Yeah,
what is the signal? Like, is this the part where all you guys pull down your pants and show your ass and that means everybody run? Like, what is it?
I mean, do you tap your nose twice?
Yeah.
And then
it's
I
like
know
those
to
baseball
all by
signals,
doors.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like, what is the signal? What does it mean to stand by? I don't know. It was super frustrating. That was probably mm-hmm. one of the scariest moments for me in watching that. In the past 4 years, there's been a lot of shit to be afraid of. But in that moment, I 100% felt afraid for myself and for my family.
Yeah. That's what it is. It's been a very easy question for multiple presidents to answer, multiple white presidents to answer. And the fact that it's not easy for him to answer. And here's the thing, and I'm just going to go down a weird road, but it's like, okay, so is it not easy for him to answer because he knows that his base mm-hmm. makes up a large portion, like these guys make up a large portion of his base.
Yeah.
Like he knows that. He said their name first. Nobody else did.
Right.
Like he knows exactly who the fuck they are. So that's not a thing. And so he doesn't know what he should do. But we all know what his history is. In regards to race relations. It's just, you can look it up, you can read it, Google it. You know, look at his time as a landlord. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you everything in New York City, it'll tell you everything you need to know about who he is.
Yeah.
So none of that is surprising. I think people just really wanted him to say it. And the fact that he didn't, I think he put the nail in his coffin. No pun intended.
Oh, jeez. But there was
Ruh-roh.
One more thing. Eek. Also,
I do not wish death upon our president.
And
I
feel like we should preface this entire conversation with that is not what we want right? We do not want anyone to continue to die of this awful thing, particularly our president, because I think that it puts the country in a vulnerable situation.
It puts us in a vulnerable situation, but it also, like, I don't wish him to any, I don't wish anybody any harm.
No.
But you know what it, I don't know. I think that I don't wish anybody any harm. I don't wish the man any harm. I don't wish his family any harm. Mm-hmm. But mainly not because of anything that is quite frankly self-righteous, because I want to see him pay for what, like, long haul pay, not just like, oh, you died of the thing that you didn't pay attention to and put 210 people's lives in jeopardy, and then eventually they all died, like 210,000 people. Like, I want him to go to jail for his crimes. I want to be able to see him pay. I want to watch him be shackled and be sent to jail. That's what I would like to see. Do I think I'm going to see that? Probably not in that dramatic fashion that I think it is in my head.
Yeah.
But I want him to stand up. I want him to live through this election. I want him to lose. And I want to watch him go to jail. And I want to see everybody bounce back in the best way that we can and find some normalcy after this horrible ordeal of having this man as the president of the United States.
Yeah, normalcy.
Yeah.
God, what does that even look like? But before we move on to the next thing, I do want to talk about Joe Biden. And there was, you know, there was criticism of him last week. Mm-hmm. Joe Biden's 78 years old, okay? Mm-hmm. He might not be the quickest on his feet. He might not be able to respond. But also, for all of the people who were just like, stand up for yourself, like, get him where it hurts or whatever, more than just telling them to shut up. Like, but how do you, and I think you actually posed this question on social media, how do you argue with a liar?
And exactly.
How do you argue with a narcissist who
is
never wrong? The answer is you don't.
You don't.
Because
you
don't. Everybody ends up in tears. I don't know. And I've said it. Like,
but no, not everybody.
Some of you have also ever been in a relationship with a narcissist who's never wrong, and it shows, right?
Yes.
Like, sometimes you just can't have a decent conversation with someone who won't allow you to speak.
Yes. And the funny part about what you just said is you said something like, you know, everybody ends up in tears. Actually, no, the narcissist does not.
The narcissist doesn't.
And, you know, that is fascinating to me, because you can't, like, you know, I've heard a lot of people say it, like, oh, he could have done, or he could have, and it's like, shut your mouth, number one, because that's our only hope. So you back it no matter what, right? Mm-hmm. To me, that's the equivalent of being like, I guess I'll vote for him, but I'm going to write in Bernie Sanders, maybe. It's like, stop fucking around. That's your privilege talking, right? Like, that's your bullshit privilege. People of color are not running out and being like, I'm going to write in fucking Bernie Sanders. No, you're not. Every independent vote, every mark against Joe Biden is a mark for Trump, is a vote for Trump. So that's what people need to understand. Just lift him up and figure it out. And again, unless you've ever been put in a situation to argue with somebody like that, which I have in my life, it is impossible. And it's unprofessional. Like, on the most basic level, that whole conversation was unprofessional. Like, I, let alone presidential, you know? And then what do you suppose, like, it was the weirdest thing. It reminded me of a bully on the playground.
Yeah.
You know, and then I think back to him following Hillary Clinton around the debate stage, you know, all those years back. It's like, okay, so, like, you're a fucking clown and a bully.
And a predator. Let's not talk about that. I mean, I feel like that'll be a different conversation, but he...
Speaking of predators.
Oh, yes.
Just real quick.
Yeah.
I also think, and we didn't really bring this up, and I don't really know if she's a predator as much as she is an accomplice to a predator, but can we just talk about Melania and how she hates Christmas, and also her comments about Stormy Daniels and how Annie Leibovitz... Annie Leibovitz took picture, she's taking pictures of a porn hooker, and it's like, okay, like, her name is Stormy Daniels, which sounds porny, but, like, cool, that's her business. Yeah. I have to
also
look it up.
Your husband paid her to not tell the world that they had sex. Like,
ma'am,
you're wrong. Like, you're mad at the wrong person.
For sure. And like, from my perspective, I get very upset when her name is Melania and my name is Melanie. It's like one A away from being bad. Granted, we look like very different people and we are very different people, but the closeness in the letters to our names is really fucked up. But I mean, the Christmas comments.
Unpopular opinion?
Do it.
Okay. So I feel like maybe in the context of which she was speaking, right? She was talking about children being detained and separated from their families in the same breath that she was talking about Christmas decorations. She's right. Who cares about Christmas decorations when all of this other stuff is going on?
Ma'am.
Don't feel
ma'am.
Like that's...
No. That's no. Me. Let me... That's who I am. No, I know. And that's why you're great and I'm a monster. So here's the thing is that no. And the reason why that's a no is because you're thinking from the kind rational thinking of who you are. You're like, there's so much bigger things going on in the world. Who cares about a tree? That was not the energy. The energy was she could not be fucking bothered. First of all, she didn't want to do it in the first place. Let's just remember the top of the conversation. Who gives a fuck about Christmas? I have to do it, right? Right? Like, and she's like, are you fucking kidding? Like, she's upset that she even had to fucking put a bow on anything. Like, she was just like, nope, why, right? And then she goes into, and all they want to talk about is the kids in cages. First of all, kids in cages was your first point of reference. Yeah. You are a demon, okay? Yeah. To even refer to them as kids in cages in a very flippant way, I just wonder... Yeah. It's very dismissive. And so there's this whole, that's that whole thing. And like, she was just like, you know, who gives a fuck? And there's an energy about that that I appreciate because I'm a very who gives a fuck type person.
Yeah.
But like, it was just ignorant. It wasn't coming from a good place. It was coming from, I can't be bothered with this fucking bullshit. I hate Christmas. Why do I have to put all these trees up? Like, let's just keep it fucking 100. No one's had a good Halloween in the White House since, oh, blessed Obama's wonderful Halloween that we all know and love. Christmas is a shit show over there. And the Rose Garden is dead. Like, if that's not a fucking sign that these people need to fucking go, I don't know what is.
I tell you what, though, we did get a good distraction from Melania hating Christmas and kids.
Didn't we?
We did, because the very next day, we were informed that... the president and Miss Melania.
And several other members of the GOP. Others.
And the number keeps on growing.
Yeah, at that wonderful super spreader event. Yeah, super spreader event. I'm like, how do I throw a party that gets to be called the super spreader? There are so many negative connotations with the term super spreader. I won't go into that because this is an explicit show, but it is not.
But we not nasty.
We're not nasty. But we do say fuck. So I love that the word super spreader is constantly online or in the news. Super spreader event. It's like, guys, bring it down a notch.
Tone it down.
There were a bunch of people and they had COVID. So I have all these wonderful theories. Amy Coney Barrett had COVID. Mm-hmm. Yes, she had it over the summer. And by the way, we're late, right? This is, we're at October 7th right now.
Yep.
So if we want to talk timing, you know, we know he has COVID. And that right now, I think before it was like, he's a liar. But let's unpack that. The whole world is saying that the president is diagnosed with COVID and that he's a liar. Knowing the man has not worn masks, he's been irresponsible with social distancing, and everybody still thinks he's a liar. That is actually very telling.
That's incredibly for a president, telling. Right? Yeah.
Like that nobody believes you and everybody thinks you're full of shit, regardless of what comes out of your mouth. That is extremely telling. Then it's like, okay, now you are sick. And you're still like faking the funk, like him walking up the stairs and having this like PR moment where he can barely fucking breathe. The way that he was breathing in that video was like it was a -5 degrees outside in Canada. Like, it was like he could barely catch his breath. I don't know if you've seen this video.
Was it today?
No, it was from a couple days ago when he left the hospital. And then he's like walking up the stairs and everyone's like, okay. So it's like fueling the fire of he doesn't have it. This fool is walking up the stairs. He left the hospital. No one believes the timeline. But right. Then on the other side, he finally hits the balcony. And when I tell you, I have no medical experience. I was like, are you okay? Like, he was, you have to find this video. I can't believe you haven't seen it.
I haven't.
It was all over the news. So he's just sitting there and he can't, a human being, I kind of felt bad for him because he literally was trying to breathe. It was okay. Very apparent that he was trying to breathe.
I need to see it because I'm still sitting on the fence where, you know, whoever was directing the first two videos didn't tell him to cough or act like he was out of breath.
Oh, girl. How much editing do we just do for this podcast? Not great all the time. And it was they edited a cough out. Like, that was clear as day.
Yeah, I don't know. And if you haven't watched Scandal, then you don't know where I'm coming from. But I just feel like I've seen way too many Shonda Rhimes shows to feel like this isn't a publicity stunt. And if I
think he's sick.
And I hope he recovers quickly. But if he wasn't,
we'll just say it again. One more time. We just want to do it one more time. We wish him all the best. We hope everyone gets well.
Absolutely.
We wish no ill will on anybody.
None. I don't know. It just seems bananas. If I were a family member of one of the 210,000 people who had lost a loved one to this disease, and to see him in front of a camera making videos every other day and then going on a COVID parade, I would be pissed.
And
I would
be devastated.
Yeah. I would be devastated and I would feel some kind of way. And then to come out of it on the other side and be like, it's nothing but the flu.
Don't be afraid. Don't let it control your life.
It's nothing to be afraid of. Like, granted, we're talking about a relatively small percentage of people, but it's big enough to be concerned about. And the fear should be real and it should be taken seriously. And I just don't understand why it's taking this man so long to be able to acknowledge that. And still,
I still don't think he's acknowledged.
No, I don't. And even being someone who's been diagnosed with it.
Mm-hmm.
Still can't come
at the end of the day. I think at the bottom, like the bottom, bare bottom line, you are the president of the United States. If you can't control the virus in your own small area, how the fuck are we supposed to trust you to control the virus in the entire United States? And that's it.
Yeah.
Like, well, you couldn't control it in your bubble. And your secure bubble, where you are tested at will, where you have access to helicopters if you get sick, where you, by the way, use taxpayer money to have private doctors and go to a very expensive hospital.
Yeah.
Taxpayer dollars paid for that entire visit, for those experimental drugs, for that helicopter that fucking took you to where you needed to go when you weren't feeling well. All of it. So, I mean, if you can't control it in those circumstances, how do you expect an essential worker to control it?
Well,
on their own with no help from their government and national mandates?
I think that Mike Pence told us the answer tonight.
Let's talk about the presidential debate
because
we just wanted to fill time. We just really wanted to get here.
We just really wanted to get to right now.
Black girl. Motherfucking magic.
So good. But Mike Pence said over and over again in the first, I don't know, 15 minutes that they have confidence in the American people to do what's right for them.
Mm-mm-mm.
Right? And to me, having confidence in the American people without any kind of guidance or without the truth equates to figure it out.
That's what I heard.
Right.
I'm glad you heard the same thing I heard, because that's exactly what I heard. I heard they'll be all right. Y'all figure it out.
Yeah. And we don't need to tell them the whole truth. They're smart people.
But what did Kamala say? What did she say? You respect the American people when you tell them the truth.
Yeah.
Like, you owe us respect. And that's the thing that is so lost in these situations and has been so lost. People have forgotten these people work for you. They work for you, not the other way around. And that message was abundantly clear. When Mike Pence said that, it is abundantly clear that that's not how those folks think.
No. No.
It's so disappointing.
It is so disappointing. And I understand that, like, the Republican Party at its core is just like small government. We don't tell the American people what to do, and sure, I'm not going to mandate a mask and all of those things. But when you understand that the risk is so great.
Well, I
why not give us a little bit, and also just give us all of the information so we can make informed decisions. Yes.
Well, that's my whole thing.
Smart enough to figure things out on our own, but with all of the information, all of it,
yeah,
from the very beginning.
Yeah, and I think that here's one thing I think we have to do, I think in general, and it just touched upon something you said. I think we're lumping all Republicans together too.
Oh,
so yeah. This is where I like to refer to, like, Republican classic. You know, a good old fashioned, you know, the ones before the Tea Party where it was like, oh, some maybe mild racism that can be cured with a black guy you know at church. You know, some like fiscal conservative bullshit. Like, I would give anything for some Republican classic behavior right now, opposed to this rhetoric, because that's what it was. And so I feel like we have to talk about them in two groups now, because I think that there is Republican classic, which still is problematic. Do not get it twisted. But they're not as problematic as our buddies who are just like, I don't want to wear a mask. I don't want to do anything that anybody tells me to do. And America, like, that's where we have to figure out, like, how we talk about them, because I do think they're two different groups, and I do think that they think differently. And I find it interesting, because I've always kind of thought, like, Democrats were kind of split into, like, Democrats and, like, independents. Like, I never felt like, and this probably comes from an uneducated place, I have to preface this, and I always kind of had this feeling that maybe there were more Democrats in the independent pool than there were Republicans in the independent pool. And right. I feel like that is swinging a little bit in a different direction, where we might be rounding a time where more Republicans are in the independent pool, because it's gone so far right that people just can't get down with it. And there, it was super clear with Pence today. He walked out like an evangelist robot. Mm-hmm. I mean, he just was like super duper duper robotic. Mm-hmm. He tried to lead, bless his heart, he tried to lead with kindness. He really did. He thought that he could nice his way through the situation, which we all know is politicking, right? Yeah. It's like you're trying to be cute and say, thank you for being here. This is a historic for you. I remember when I was in your seat. I respect you. But now I'm going to vomit all of this vitriol and these lies and rhetoric all over you.
Yeah.
So it was just a very strange showing for him. But whenever you want to dive into the like Kamala pool, like, wow.
So I felt, I think I maybe fell in love with her.
Like
tonight.
All the way. Like, I remember like having a crush, like during a couple of Senate hearings, in particular Kavanaugh's hearing.
100%.
Like, I was like, what? I was like, oh my, like,
when she bullied him into tears. Is that
bullied him into tears? Yeah. Yes.
That's what we do to rapists. Sorry.
That's what we do. Sorry. You can't keep your fucking pants zippered up and you want to show your power. Now look who's showing their power.
I'm going to make you cry in front of everyone.
Yeah. I love it. I'm here for all that shit.
Yeah. I felt, I don't think that I have felt so energized after watching any kind of a political showing in a very, very long time. And I think something that we need to keep in mind, and I think that everyone needs to keep this in mind, regardless of how you lean politically. If you're listening to this, I can only assume that you lean, you know, one way more than the other, but the two people that we saw on stage tonight, no matter what happens in a month, one of them will be on the same stage 4 years from now.
Mm-hmm.
And just let that sink in, right? No one is going to the polls voting for Joe Biden with the intent of him being a two-term president at all. So I think what we saw tonight is very likely what we'll see 4 years from now. And I think that we have to look at both of these vice presidential candidates as presidential candidates. And I think the moderator, she asked a question about the health.
Can we talk about her for 1 second?
Yeah, yeah,
can
yeah.
we just talk about, sorry to interrupt. Susan Page for the win. And I don't know if it was just because there was such a poor showing in the presidential debate, which I will say.
She shut it down.
She shut it down.
Yeah.
And it just takes a woman, doesn't it? I'm
sometimes,
sorry. I just had to 100%. Say that. Anyway, go ahead. Continue. I'm sorry.
I don't know. I lost my train of thought. Where was I going?
Girl, you tell me. Where were you going? Where were you going? We were talking about the presidential, looking at them as presidential candidates.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. I'm sorry. So when they were talking about, she had asked the question of health, presidential health, and what happens if, you know, there's any kind of incompetency or if the president can no longer serve as president, right? And she asked both of the candidates how they would move forward. Neither of them answered the question, but I feel like in Senator Harris's answer, she gave us her qualifications for president. So
correct.
In no shape or form did she talk about Joe's age, his inability to answer a question on the fly, but she told us why she would be qualified to be president. And I thought that it was perfect. If you were listening to her, you heard her, right?
Yeah.
And you heard exactly what she was saying.
Yeah.
And I think that that's so important as we go to the polls to think about, we're not just voting for the next 4 years. Like, this is so much bigger. And the trajectory of where this country is heading is right now, you know? And I don't feel that there has ever been, and I'm sure we say this every 4 years, right? There's never been a more important election, but I feel it in my core that, like, this is big. And it's not even about the two people that are fighting for the office in Washington. It's your down ballots. It's all of it.
Yeah. I mean, I 1,000% agree. I mean, I think somebody has said the same thing, like, oh, she's not answering the question. It's like, oh, no, no, no. She's very much answering the question.
Yeah.
She's actually answering the question in the most intelligent way possible.
Yep.
She is not downplaying the current presidential candidate, but she's making it very clear that she could also be a presidential candidate. Mm-hmm. And I remember saying something like, when everybody was like, oh, Michelle Obama 2020. And I said, you know what? And there was all this tomfoolery happening with Trump and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And I think I said to you, I said to somebody, I said, you know what? I said, it's funny. I said, you know, people didn't want a woman president, but if they don't quit fucking around, they're going to end up with a black woman president. And boy, if they didn't want a white woman, they sure as shit ain't going to want a black woman, because you're going to learn today. Like, that's, you know, and that was very, very apparent. I need to take a minute to talk about the look on her face. There was a moment, but there was one particular moment, and I can't remember what he said, because he interrupted her. He got excited.
Uh-huh.
And she looked at him like when you're 13,
yeah,
and you think you're about some shit and you try to pop off at your mom because you don't really understand yet, but you just get excited too early
about how
to talk to your parents, and your mother looks at you like, what did you just say? And she looked at him like that. And I was like, ooh.
It was probably when she said, don't you stand here and talk to me about law enforcement.
Oh yeah.
The top cop. Like,
yes.
Don't come for her when it comes to law enforcement. And yes, has she made mistakes and did she do everything perfectly? Absolutely not. But did she do a lot of good? 100%.
Yeah.
As a prosecutor and California's top cop, she's done well more than he has in that arena. So yeah, he didn't have any stake to speak to her in any manner about that regard in a negative way.
Yeah. I just overall, I mean, for me, I think that I was very proud. I was very proud to be a Black woman, and it was really cool. And it was just, it was every ding, every intelligent rebuttal, every intelligent statement, every time she stood up for herself. I think that was, we don't get to see that very often.
We don't. So
it was, we don't hardly ever get to see that. And so it was just really empowering, and I'm going to have a good day at work tomorrow.
Such a good day. And I think the one look,
day at work tomorrow.
There's a look that I think we can all recognize, right? When he is spewing whatever it is that he's spewing, and she just gets that serene smile on her face, and you can see that she's working it all out in her mind.
Yep.
And she knows because of the platform that she's on that she probably should not react the way that she wants to. So she smiles and she does, and she says exactly the right thing. And every time she had to say, "I am speaking," with a smile on her face to shut it down. I think we can all relate to that. As women, as women of color, I think we've all been put in situations where
we feel like situations like that all the time.
So we aren't perceived as angry or angry Black women or aggressive or any of those things. And I think that given the circumstances and given the way that given the way that society has forced her to behave, right? Mm-hmm. She handled herself beautifully, and it was super empowering.
Yeah. So I agree, but I think we're not talking about one person in this instance.
We're not. There were two people on the stage tonight.
There were three.
There were three.
There was a little guy that found a nice little home right near Mike Pence's part, and he had just a couple wings, and he was just kind of sitting there. And bless him, he won the debate tonight because he's winning the internet. I don't know if he has a name yet, but I hope he gets one.
He's going to get one.
That fly made my night on top of my night being made.
Yeah.
And it was really funny because it didn't take long for the internet to explode with things like flies know shit, a piece of shit when they see one. It didn't take long for memes to pop up about, you know,
the fly being Mike Pence's only Black friend.
I didn't want to say it, but that too, you know? And I think when I think about the universe and how it just sends you gifts, that's a gift. And I hope that everybody takes a look at that gift and just has a giggle, because no one's going to give a shit about any of the stuff that he said. They are only going to remember that that fly was on his head at the end of the debate.
For a minute.
Yeah.
That fly posted up.
I mean, that was the best thing I ever saw in my life. And on that note, I think this is the end of our debate.
Yeah.
We just wanted to come in and do a quickie. Thank you for joining us. We love having you. Have a good night. We'll see you next time. Bye.